Welcome to Conversations with David Lewis. Today, a life in the CIA. My guest is Howard Hart. He was a career CIA officer active in some of the most difficult parts of the world, Iran, Afghanistan. He's been a frequent guest. Today, I want to talk to him not about specific things such as what would he do in Iraq or what would he do in Iran, but more to talk about his life in the CIA. Hart has written a book about the subject called A Life for a Life, a memoir, My Career in Espionage, Working for the Central Intelligence Agency, and that overview is what I want to get to. But first, I need to give listeners a bit of background on Howard Hart. His desire to serve the country came out of an incident very early in his life when his family were prisoners in a World War II Japanese internment camp in the Philippines, where his father had been working. The family lived there, and when the Japanese invaded, all the civilians got put into internment camps. At the age of four, as the American troops invaded and took back the Philippines, his whole family, and in fact the whole camp, were due to be executed when paratroopers, American paratroopers, came in, saved his life. One of his earliest memories is being picked up by a GI and being herded onto a rescue, you know, landing craft that got him and his family out of there. And he really decided at that very early age that his life had been saved and that he therefore owed his life in service to the country, which became his work in the CIA, and thus the title of his book, A Life for a Life. Hart then, after a college career where he, among other things, picked up little languages like Hindustani and Urdu, went into the military briefly, but then quickly began a 25-year career in the CIA, where, among other things, he was the first person to actually initiate and run the war, the secret war against the Soviet Union in Afghanistan. That's when he was the station chief in CIA station chief in Pakistan. He also was the acting station chief in Iran when the country fell, and he had some incredible adventures there, some of them rather brutal. And then when he came back to the U.S., he also ran the CIA side of Jimmy Carter's effort to rescue the American hostages who'd been held. Hart is, in fact, the most decorated person in the entire history of the CIA. A remarkable man, a remarkable life, and today we're really going to talk about that life. Howard P. Hart, welcome back to the program.
David, thank you very much. It's always a pleasure to talk with you.
We've talked many times, but we've never talked after you've written the book. So first, tell me about the book, what it is, and why you wrote it.
Well, my wife Jean has been after me for years to write a book, not one that gives away any great secrets, but to talk about my 25 years with CIA. But I wrote it mainly for my grandchildren, who are still so young that maybe when they get to be in their middle 30s, they'll read the book and figure out what old granddad did. And I wanted people to know something about what life was like in the American Espionage Service. Again, I didn't give away any great secrets. It took me 5 months to get it cleared by CIA, which is a requirement. And so it's kind of a personal story. And I also wanted to talk a bit about several things. First of all, kind of giving people what life in the espionage business, the American espionage business, is like. And two, I had a very fortunate career in that I was given a number of jobs or was in a number of places that turned out to be very difficult and very challenging. And there's some background on those things. Now, we're talking about the late 60s, 70s, and 80s. And, you know, there's a 25-year period in there that the world was, as it is now, in a mess.
You're saying you didn't give away any big secrets. I was very disappointed about that. I wanted to know what really happened to Jimmy Hoffa and about those aliens at Roswell. And, you know, Howard, you did not come through for me. You know, you stuck to the stuff you actually did.
That's right, exactly.
It must be interesting for you, you know, with Iran being so much in the news right now, that must make you reminisce. That was, of course, where you, I mean, we've talked about this before, but for listeners who haven't heard the earlier interviews, you know, that's where you were the acting station chief when the Shah fell. You were beaten within an inch of your life. You had to escape from a very difficult situation in a very deadly way. And then when you were back in Washington, you played the lead role for the CIA organizing the Iran rescue mission. So, you know, looking back, what are you proudest of, and what do you regret the most?
There's no question in my mind that I made the right decision to serve the country. That's the first thing. And secondly, that I made the right decision to do it while working for CIA, which I found in my era to be an extraordinarily gifted, talented, and capable organization. Much maligned even during the years I was there. But I am very proud to have served with the men and women in the agency and to have been able to make a contribution that only people in the intelligence business could make. And that, you know, so that part of my life gives me considerable satisfaction. My regrets in that period would be that I did put my family at some considerable risk in a number of my assignments overseas, risks from physical, you know, I mean, actually being killed by the locals, and almost more important is the fact that our jobs were pretty much 24-hour a day, and I did not get to spend nearly as much time with my wife and my two boys as I would have liked to. And these were their formative years. I mean, my family accompanied me everywhere I went, even though they were evacuated a couple of times. We didn't have much time for family life, and that was a problem. And as I look back on it now, I mean, my sons and my wife performed brilliantly and took everything in stride, and have now, my boys have grown up and they're in their 40s and they're doing very well in their lives. But I think I missed a lot of time with my sons while they were younger. And there was no way around that. I mean, it just had to be. I also regret that something like the Iran rescue mission failed. And I regret almost more than anything. I was fortunate enough, as I tell the story in the book, to have been given the job of starting up and running a war against the Soviet Union in Afghanistan from Pakistan. A war that when I arrived in Pakistan to begin my tour there didn't exist. I mean, the Russians had invaded Afghanistan and they had 180,000 men in there, and it seemed absolutely hopeless that Afghans could ever fight against the incredible might of the Soviet Union. Well, we made that happen. But the tragedy was we supplied and trained thousands upon thousands of Afghans, and we armed them to the teeth, and we finally kicked the Soviet Union out. And this led directly to the fall of the Soviet Union, and Edward Shevardnadze, who was the foreign minister under Gorbachev, is quoted as saying that the last nail in the coffin of the Soviet Union was our war in Afghanistan. So that was a great victory. But then America turned its back under a new president, and Pakistan, what we got was the second Afghan war, which is where all the same people who've been fighting the Soviets were now fighting us. And we had no business being in the country to have to fight a war against them. And in my personal view, in having studied Afghanistan for years, and for years having intimate contact with the freedom fighters, as we called them then, now they're Taliban, it was such a terrible mistake to enter Afghanistan and fight a war for 11 or 12 years, that enormous cost to try to make Afghanistan a model of democracy. And I had retired by the time that war began, but I tried desperately to get comments to the effect that we, you know, going into Afghanistan to destroy Al-Qaeda was a great idea, and it worked, and it was very quick, and it was relatively easy. But then we chose to stay on and have a major war. And while I importuned everybody I had ever known in Washington to stop this foolishness, I feel that that was a tragedy. And for example, the Department of Defense never once picked up my offer to come in and talk about who they were fighting and why they were fighting and why we couldn't beat them. And the frustration there, my frustration was just terrible.
You know, Howard, you've seen over your long career, both in the CIA and then as an extremely knowledgeable observer of foreign affairs and national security issues from the outside, you've seen it all. In your view, in your adult life, what are the biggest mistakes you've seen America make in those arenas?
I believe the invasion of Iraq was a disastrous mistake, and that our actions, once we had defeated Saddam Hussein's army, our actions in Iraq were absolutely the dumbest things we could have done. And what has happened out of that, and then the next thing is, of course, the administration's handling of the Syrian issue, which is nothing but disastrous and has led to a situation now which is virtually unfixable, and certainly by us. And so we've seen a number of wars, of Iraq and Afghanistan principally, where we have spent literally trillions of dollars, lost a lot of lives, achieved exactly nothing, and are now reaping the whirlwind in Iraq and in Syria, and in fact in the entire Middle East, of absolutely stupid foreign policy decisions.
Tomorrow we'll continue my conversation with Howard Hart, and I should say that on the Conversations with David Lewis webpage on the AM1690 site, there will be a SoundCloud folder available. On that are a number of interviews that I've done with Howard Hart over the last 10 years. So if you want to hear in detail some of his adventures, such as running the Iran rescue mission, the intelligence side, or running the secret war against the Soviet Union in Afghanistan, those stories will be available to listen to there. Tomorrow, we'll continue my conversation with Howard Hart, the most decorated person in the history of the CIA.